Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Heather is a nurse practitioner from UnitedHealthcare.
We meet patients wherever they live.
During a house call, she found Jack had an issue.
Jack's blood pressure was dangerously high.
It was 217 over 110.
So they got Jack to the hospital and got him the help he needed.
He had had a stent placed in his heart, preventing a massive heart attack.
If it wasn't for my guardian angel, I wouldn't be here.
Hear more stories like Jack's at unitedhealthcare.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan. Area limitation and exclusions apply.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. You can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence Data, 1H 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
Well, hey there, and good morning, everybody. Welcome in to Sports Daily. Glad to have you with us. Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleland here on a Tuesday. And it is a good Tuesday. We had a doubleheader of Monday Night Football last night that we can get through. We also had the World Series. Tickets are punched. Blue Jays fans out there are excited. Mariners fans are devastated. People that had futures bets on Mariners to win the World Series from the beginning of the season are devastated, like yours truly. But hey, the Blue Jays fans deserve it. It's a great fan base. I have an affinity for them, spending a little time with them on those World Series runs. So good for them. Now we can all come together and hope that they beat the Dodgers, right? But the World Series is set. We've got Monday Night Football's in the book, and we've got a Chiefs game to get ready for on Monday Night Football. And the bigger story of this week, we've got Sunflower Showdown to get ready for. Voice of the K-State Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, is going to join the program. So we'll have that coming for you a little later in the program. It's all brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, now featuring a hot link sandwich, split seared, served on a split top bun, but chips and a drink for only $9. Perfect for lunch. Hot link sandwich. Now available at Wichita Brewing Company, pizza and beer made here. Jacob Albrock here, TJ Cleland there. TJ, good morning. How are you?
Hello, hello. How late did you make it for the Monday Night Football doubleheader? I'm curious to see if you made it the whole way. Did you?
Absolutely not. No, I didn't. I didn't even.
Me neither.
I don't even think I made it to halftime. So I'm trying to. TJ, I'm in the age where I'm trying to figure some things out. I don't sleep very well typically, so I'm really like trying to fix that. And so I can't, like, it doesn't make any sense for me on a Monday to stay up to midnight to watch a Texans Seahawks game as much as I want to, because I wanted to. So I was out 10:30.
I was trying, I'm getting old too.
I'm trying my best to figure out why I don't sleep. And so I need this baseline of like consecutive nights on the same deal so I can figure it out. So it's a little harder, you know, not too long ago, like maybe, I don't know, a week ago, I would have been up for that way past anything that made sense. But it didn't have any implications terribly on us or this show and anything like that. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to do the right thing and I'm going to hit it. But we did have a pretty good game. It looks like there, the first game is the one that I watched all the way through, and it was entertaining. We'll get to it. We'll get into both of the games a little bit later, but you know, we'll dive in. You can dive in at 869-1240. Max has that for you. The hotline ready to roll. You can also leave us comments on anything you saw. Did anybody stay up that late? Did anybody stay up to the Seahawks Texans? It's also not the kind of game that's probably going to motivate us to stay
up. I'd say if it was the other way around, people would have stayed up for the other game.
Probably. And maybe that's disrespectful to the Seahawks. And maybe that's something we could talk about too. You can leave your comments on Facebook, on YouTube, on X. Thanks for watching us there. Thanks for watching us on 12 News Connected. Thanks for listening to us. Right now, live on the Odyssey app or in the future on the Odyssey app. If you take that and you podcast this show out, even if you do, you can still leave us voice messages. Just click that microphone and you can get in touch with the program. I love the Monday Night Football when they have two games, but not when they are straight up back to back like that. The stagger start Monday Night Football has grown on me a lot and something I kind of wish they'd do every week. I love it. Of course, they're not going to do it this coming Monday with Chiefs Commanders. They wouldn't do that probably with a Chiefs game because they are the hottest ticket in a broadcast sense these days. But it was good. And we had it, you know, I had it. It was probably good because on the second screen, I had the World Series. And we have a World Series now that I think is pretty compelling. I'm devastated for Mariners fans. Could you imagine last night? I mean, you had the Mariners out in Toronto and then a Monday Night Football game. You've got a crowd full of people watching the Mariners on their phones go down in agony to the Blue Jays. They were leading the entire way until the seventh inning, and George Springer hits a three-run bomb to shatter the dreams of Mariners fans, and they are still not in a war. Are they the only? They're the only, aren't they? They're the only franchise that hasn't made a World Series. Oh, man, that sucks. That really sucks. That's a good team with a magical season from its hopefully MVP. That's horrible. Yep. And their two best players hit home runs in the game. I mean, my goodness gracious.
That's the one where if it's not going to happen this year, when the hell is it ever going to happen for the Seattle Mariners?
They'll be good again next year. They'll have everybody back as far as I know. I don't know. Suarez will be the one piece that they added that made such a big impact. They'll have to figure out, but like they should be back. Their young pitching is there. You know, the dumper and Julio Rodriguez aren't going anywhere, but that's brutal. I've been there. Look, we've all been there. Royals fans were there to, you know, one step, but 2014, when you lose a game seven in the World Series, at least they got there. The Rangers, for me, they made it back-to-back years. And of course, game seven in 2011 will be etched into my memory in a bad way forever against the Cardinals. So, you know, for Mariners fans, you got to just hope they can jump right back into it and get there again. That's a lifetime. That sucks. And for Blue Jays fans, it's been a lifetime too, more than 30 years. I remember when I was, I was 34 years, right? I think I was in kindergarten. I'm pretty sure I was in kindergarten when they played the Braves. And I went to a friend's house and his whole family were Braves fans. And I know this will stun you, but I can, you know, I like to stir the pot a little bit sometimes. And even at 5 or 6 years old, I remember, I was like, man, their whole family's going for the Braves. I'm going to go for the Blue Jays. And so I did. And it was the reason I didn't stay like a Blue Jays fan, but it did make me dislike the Braves for most of my life. Like, I've never liked the Braves since then. But it was because of the Blue Jays. And I chose to go for the Blue Jays, and they won that World Series, and it was great. And I could gloat to this poor family who had really wanted to see their Braves win the World Series. But you know, it's a cool franchise. They were awesome. I was there in 2015 with the Royals. Was that the CS or the DS, whatever it was. CS. I was there with them. And that, man, I had so much fun in Toronto. I had so much fun with those fans. It was a blast. Like I met people that randomly stayed in touch with for several years after that. Just like man on the street fans who, I remember one guy at our hotel bar was down there. We had like the off day, I think it was on a Sunday, and they had the games on. I was like, okay, I want to get somewhere where I can watch these games. And he's betting games. I'm like, well, how do you bet in games? They're like, oh, we have a kiosk right over there. You can just go over there and bet the games. And we sat there and watched football all day. And like, it was so much fun. Their media was fun. It was a cool stadium. It was great atmosphere. I'm happy for them. It's a cool, underrated baseball town. And they're going to go ballistic. And we'll see if we can all take down the Dodgers here and try to prevent LA from doing the thing that no baseball team's done since the Yankees way back when. And that's go back to back. The Blue Jays are our best shot. They seem tremendous underdogs.
They do. That was the conversation that I figured we were going to have later in the show, is if they have enough power to get it done. While we're talking about the baseball town before the end of the break here, my parents said that it's the best stadium in Major League Baseball, top five.
Rogers?
Yes.
It was awesome. I mean, I got it once with the roof open, once with the roof closed, I believe. It was fantastic. I think that the people made it as fun as the stadium itself. I was up in a press box, so it's hard. It's hard for me to say that. But the outside the stadium was fantastic. Let me think about that, because I've been to a bunch of them. We'll come back. Sports Daily's just getting started here. Don't go away.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
UnitedHealthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in, here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at UnitedHealthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
What makes a great pair of glasses? At Warby Parker, it's all the invisible extras without the extra cost. Their designer quality frames start at $95, including prescription lenses, plus scratch-resistant, smudge-resistant, and anti-reflective coatings, and UV protection, and free adjustments for life. To find your next pair of glasses, sunglasses, or contact lenses, or to find the Warby Parker store nearest you, head over to warbyparker.com. That's warbyparker.com.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence Data, 1H2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
And we welcome you back in. Joining us now, voice of the K-State Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, as we get ready for the big one, the Sunflower Showdown. As K-State gets ready to head down to Lawrence as underdogs for what has to be the first time in
2009
was the last time. Yeah. So we're looking at 15 years. That's what I was going to guess. Wyatt, we get the news yesterday. How are you this morning?
I'm good. Are you
bright-eyed and bushy-tailed? There's a doubleheader of Monday Night Football, and we had Game 7 of the ALCS. Did you stay up too late?
Yeah, it's a busy time, isn't it? And we were off this past weekend, so I kind of did what I did on that first bye week. I watched football basically all day long from 11 to about 11:15 at night. So ready to get back at it this week. We've got the basketball game in Columbia, Missouri Friday and Sunflower Showdown on Saturday. So
9 p.m. on Friday. It's going to be a late night on Friday.
Yeah, it will be. 9 o'clock game. We'll hit the air at 8 o'clock. Looking forward to it on a lot of different levels. Mizzou's, I think, going to have a pretty good team. They've got like 7 returners from a 22-win team. K-State's basically got a brand-new team. 4 returners is all they have. But I'm so excited to see, you know, kind of what they are now, but also what they could be 2 weeks from now, a month from now, and so on, just because – I think they've got some interesting pieces, probably headlined by P.J. Haggerty. He can really play, guys, and looking forward to this.
Now, we can start with basketball. This is not some exhibition either, right? This is a game that counts.
Well, I don't know that I think it's an exhibition, actually.
Yeah.
And it's one of those that they put together that it's done for television, though.
But it's not a scrimmage like the scrimmages. It's an actual game.
Correct. It'll be played as a game.
Okay.
All the media timeouts and all of that kind of stuff, and like the regular rules and all of that. My understanding is they'll come back to Bramlage a year from now. So it should be fun to see how it goes. We'll have this one, and then a week from Friday, Newman at our place, and then start November 4th against North Carolina Greensboro.
Okay.
There you go, Wyatt. Watch out for those Jets coming into Bramlage. It's my alma mater.
Yeah.
Coming to raise some hell in Manhattan, Kansas. P.J. Haggerty, first team, all Big 12. I'm not sure in the past how many, you know, when the last first teamer was and everything like that. It tells you the kind of talent that he is coming out of the American Conference as we get ready for Big 12 Media Days and tomorrow to talk about this team. But P.J. Haggerty is going to be the headline.
He will be. Really good scorer. 21.7 points a game last year. He's basically been described as one of the top 10 transfer portal guys in major college basketball for this season. When you watch him, he's really, really smooth. I don't know that I would have a lot of coaches describe him as just a brilliant shooter, but he is a scorer, no doubt. He can score. And not that I'm not saying he can't shoot it in any way, But, you know, I think he is just a well-rounded offensive basketball player, and he just, you know, kind of gets his. What I'm excited about is the ability to have him in that lineup, but also some of the other guys that I think are, you know, pretty solid too. I really like Andre Kostic, and I think I like Nate Johnson, Abdi Bashir. I mean, you can kind of go on there. This will be an interesting start. And I, you know, most people are picking K-State around that 8, 9, 10 spot in the league, and that's okay. I think that's probably better when the, you know, the expectations might be a little bit lower. And the league's going to be hard. I mean, I saw one where TCU was 10th right behind K-State. If they're the 10th best team in the league, I think it says a lot about the 12.
Yeah, just well, to follow up really quick, Jacob, on Friday night, that scrimmage, do you know, is Tang going to go with like a scripted lineups type of thing to see different groups together, or is he going to roll out a five and play it like a game? How do you know? How's he going to handle that?
I'm not totally sure yet. I'll probably find that out today or tomorrow. Of course, they go to Kansas City tomorrow, so it may even be as late as Thursday. But sure. I'm not sure how to answer that because I really don't know yet.
Yeah, there you go. I'll see him tomorrow. I'll ask him.
Well, and that's, I was going to ask you about the getting picked. I think it was 9th in the official poll. That's a tournament team. I mean, 8, you know, we're right in that fringe area. I actually thought that might be a pretty good spot to see them because if nothing else, it tells me what's below them. And if, you know, maybe there are other teams with even more questions than K-State, but I don't mind the middle of the pack. The middle of the pack in the Big 12 is probably going to be in the Big 12 in the NCAA tournament. Which, if we have to pick expectations at 7:22 in the morning on October 21st, isn't just making the NCAA tournament the where you start with everything for K-State right now?
No question about it. And I think the players will tell you that. I think the coaches will tell you that. I think they. Now, once you start playing and depending on how things go, you know, sometimes you can waver off that a little bit. I mean, you know, I always think back to that first year with Coach Tang when you had Keontae Johnson and Marquise Noel, and we were doing fine early on. And then in early January, if you remember, we went to Texas and won and went to Baylor and won, and all of a sudden, boom, a different level of expectations after that. So, who knows how it'll play, but I'm excited to get going with these guys because, again, I stress this a lot. I think having Coach Driscoll involved and with the offense is going to really make a difference. I think this team has really done a good job of getting to know each other and working through some things, but you got to get through some games too, right? I mean, you just do. That's what these first couple are for. So I've heard a lot of people and say on – different shows that the results don't matter. Well, they kind of do, but I don't know that it's life or death if you lose a scrimmage at this particular point. It's more about finding out, you know, what you are, who you are, and what you need to do before November 4th.
Yeah, Wyatt, we'll switch gears to football. As we said, Sunflower Showdown on Saturday. Got a piece of news yesterday, a few pieces of news, as Coach Klieman did his weekly press conference, but the one that's going to get the most headlines is he said, basically, don't expect Dylan to play, but if he does, that's the gravy. So it's lingering on, this ankle thing still happening. So, what's it going to look like if he can't go? Is it going to be a big Joe Johnson game or Joe Jackson game? What do you expect on that front?
Well, if he does not go, and that's significant, I think we all understand that, but we've played this record before, right? I mean, he hasn't been healthy, but really for one full game all year long. And in that game, he had 166 rushing yards. It's been really frustrating for him, I think, for the coaching staff, for everybody, fan base, whatever you want to say. But I do know that in visiting with some of the guys that they feel pretty confident that they have improved in the last 3 weeks, where they've gone 2-1 with that one loss at Baylor, in which they led 31-17 in the fourth quarter and let it get away. And the difference is they're running the football better. And getting a little bit more movement. It isn't perfect yet, but it's definitely better. And I think that'll be a real key in this game. Can Kansas State run? KU's been a little bit susceptible to the run, probably more than a little bit against a Texas Tech and Lubbock as an example. But, hey, Texas Tech is what they are. And But I do think they, I mean, I've looked at the numbers. First four games, they're averaging, you know, just a little over 100 yards a game. And in the last three, it's popping it at about 190. That's a pretty big difference. We'll see if it plays out this week. And there's so much to this game, I think, maybe more than ever before. People have asked about, is this is the first real threat? Well, not really. K-State's had a couple of close ones against KU in the last 2 years, and I think this one will be too, frankly. You got them over there. You got the long streak on the line, and I don't know how you guys look at that. I think there's pressure on K-State to keep the streak going.
Sure
there is. But I think there's pressure on KU to end the streak because they're at home.
KU's
favored that or no?
KU's favored in the game. KU's favored in the game. The Dillon Edwards thing is excruciating for K-State fans because look at Kansas, I think the way to attack them is on the ground. Kansas can throw the ball because they have Jalen Daniels. So not only do they have a defense that's been a little susceptible to the run, but it helps you on the flip side to keep them off the field. Not knowing he's there is a big deal for KU's chances to break the streak, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I don't know if that means maybe Avery becomes more of a threat on the ground to try to accomplish the same thing or what, but K-State's going to have to run the ball.
I don't think there's any doubt about it. I have said for the last several days that I think that's one of the biggest keys to the game. And there are, you know, a multitude of keys like always, but you laid that out there perfectly in all honesty, because you do keep number six on the sideline and he is a dynamic player when he is playing at optimum level. They are really difficult to defend. I mean, they just are. Are they as good offensively as they were a year ago without those three receivers and Devin Neal? Well, maybe not, but I don't know that they're that far behind either. He's playing really well, and he just extends plays. The thing that concerns me, and people talk about Avery not running or whatever, they're not necessarily running Jalen a ton, but when he has to run, I mean, how much option will K-State and KU see Saturday? We don't know the answer to that, but we haven't seen a lot from either team so far. But it is a major weapon for both if they so choose to use it.
Yeah. Yeah, K-State, the defense, you know, obviously had the big game this last week against TCU, but, you know, earlier in the season it had its woes of, you know, getting off the field, everything that we saw in those non-conference games and everything like that. Whenever you look at this one before the TCU game, but even still a little bit, you know, KU's defense has given up 500 yards on multiple occasions, and K-State's defense has had its woes. In that same breath, is K-State's offense good enough to or stagnant enough to win in a shootout? Can they put up that many points?
Well, that is a really good question, and I think it kind of depends on just the lay of the land. And what I mean by that is let's say for a moment you don't have Dillon Edwards, okay? We won a ball game against TCU, who's a pretty good team, without him. I think K-State could win this game without him. Would you rather have him? Of course. But if you don't, here's the deal. Avery's got to probably run it a little bit more. He's got to have a good throwing game, and they need to protect him. Joe Jackson has to play well, probably Devon Rice too. And those other guys, I'm really excited as an example to have Bradley back. I mean, he can help when he's out there with, you know, those other guys. It makes a difference. You could tell it against TCU. So it's good to have him back. Tibbs is starting to play at a little bit better level too. Garrett Oakley's been good. I mean, you've got pieces. And I think this is a team that feels like they are starting to find themselves, if you will. And if that is so, I think game on. I'm looking forward to it.
What about on the flip side, on the defensive side? Jalen Daniels is playing as good as he's ever played. He's looking as good as he's ever looked. To me, it's kind of a chunk play thing. Can you limit their chunk plays? Can you keep them from Emmanuel Henderson getting over the top of you? If you're going to do it on K-State defensively, what have you looked at on that side of the ball?
There's another fabulous point, because think about what he has brought to the table for Kansas in terms of the shock plays, whether it's in the return game or in the receiving game. And you go back to even the TCU game. I mean, K-State gave up a couple of large plays in the fourth quarter against a pretty good receiver in McAllister, but I don't know that he's better than Emmanuel Henderson. I mean, he's 6'1", 190, 195, and can really go get it, right? Good catch radius. He'll be a tough challenge, no question. So there's all of that on the table. Again, I don't want to put it all on Jalen, but, they go as he goes. And K-State kind of goes as Avery goes. So I think this is a situation where I'm thinking that they're going to want to run the ball too. If they run the ball with the way they can, use him in a multitude of ways, that they're a real challenge. What I'm trying to say is that one of these defenses is going to step up and probably be a little bit better than the other team. I don't know if you think that is accurate or not, but if that happens, I think there's your separator, or at least the potential to be a separator.
Well, dare I say, one of these teams is going to score more points than the other team as well. That's how we're going to figure out a winner in this thing. I saw yesterday our guy D. Scott Fritchin said that there's TNT cameras in the building. They're doing a little mini documentary ahead of the game on Saturday morning. What do you know about that? Have you seen any cameras?
Oh, I have. It wasn't just at the press conference, but that's when all of the media noticed because, normally there's, 15, 20 guys in there and gals, and they sit there and they ask questions of Coach Klieman. But when he walked in yesterday with Kenny Lanoux, one of our media relations people, there were probably, I'm going to say at minimum, there were probably 6 or 8 TNT people, and a couple of 2 or 3 of them had cameras, and Coach was mic'd up for them, and they've been following him around. I mean, you want to talk about total access, they've kind of gotten it, and that's kind of what they've been doing. My understanding is they did KU earlier in the year and wanted to do K-State to feature them in this game, and they've got pretty good access there, and I know they were at practice last night and that kind of stuff, so it's fun to have that to a degree because, it's really good exposure, and I'm anxious for this one on so many levels. And I know with the off week, don't you think it seems to me like it's been forever since either team has played a game. And by the time we get to Saturday, it's going to be forever plus, I think.
It's true. Are you going to be in the mini doc? Do they talk to you?
I don't know that. I haven't heard anything from them about that. Not saying that it couldn't happen, but
they got 3 days to figure it out.
Well, there you go. But I think they could probably live with or without me. But it's really cool. I think Coach Klieman, how he is. I mean, all coaches are what they are. They do media because it's kind of you have to do
it
or whatever. But this one is a little different, to be honest. It isn't just the standard, question answer thing. This is kind of a cool behind the scenes look. I'm anxious to see what it looks like.
It's the early kick. 11 a.m. on TNT. I believe our coverage here on KFH begins at 9 o'clock.
Correct. Yeah. So looking forward to it. I've got plans to interview a couple of young people that in all honesty, have been with our program for a while. But, Taylor Portier is from Bishop Miege in Kansas City. He's a twin. He and his brother grew up dreaming of playing basketball at Kansas. But as he jokingly said yesterday, there aren't too many 6'3 centers at KU in basketball. And then Jet Dineen, I think I'm going to try to visit with Jet. He was at Lawrence Free State and a big KU family until those last boys came along. He and Jax have played here. And I think it's a really cool thing to – I always enjoy asking the guys what it means – to be a Kansas player to play in this thing, because it is special for those guys. You can see it, you can sense it, you can feel it. KU's gotten better. This should be really, really fun for the people of the Sunflower State, I think.
We agree. By the way, not a lot of 6'3 wings at Kansas either, I don't think, let alone center.
How about Christian Brown's money, huh?
God, 5 years, $125 million.
Wow.
Good work if you can find it.
You know what? He deserves it, man. He's been great.
Yeah, he does. What a great story he's been. Yeah. All right, Wyatt, we look forward to the call Saturday morning with you guys. K-State goes into Lawrence as an underdog. A little unfamiliar territory there for the Cats.
No doubt. But looking forward to it. Here we go. Let's see if we can get 17 in a row. That's a good ring to it.
All right. So we get the World Series set. We'll push Monday Night Football talk to the next hour. But let's talk World Series here. You asked if Rogers Center was a top five stadium. It's awesome. I believe it was the original retractable roof, wasn't it? Like, it was the Sky Dome, I think, was.
It's pretty old.
It's got like a hotel attached to it. The fanfare around the ballpark when I was there in 2015 was incredible. It's just, I think as much as Rogers Center's awesome, and it was, it's that, like, Toronto's kind of awesome as a town. I always tell people it was like a really clean and polite New York City is what it reminded me of. It's massive. It's huge. But, you know, you've got different named coffee shops. They eat ketchup potato chips, which is really good, by the way. I don't know how that's not become a thing. Our favorite condiment. We put everything else on a chip. How do we not have ketchup chips here? But they're good. And it was the people there were great. I was excited when Grady Dick got drafted up there. I thought, man, that'll be a fun place to, you know, start an NBA career. Obviously, we've had the Fred VanVleet there connection there for a long time. But now we see him go try to take down the Dodgers. And, man, it feels like, especially for that team where the bullpen's kind of struggled, that it is a monumental task for them. The Dodgers will be favored for sure. And who knows? We're the Blue Jays and their best odds are the Blue Jays in 7 at 5.5 to 1. That's the best you can get them. You can get them minus 1.5 games. So basically they'd win it by, 4-2 or whatever, plus 320. But the Dodgers odds, you can't get any Dodgers win right now is not plus money. So they're pretty heavy favorites here.
Yeah, that's the first thing you think about whenever you see them. Well, I think let's play the hypothetical game here because that's what we do on the radio. If it was the Mariners, did the Mariners have enough firepower to do it?
I think so. I think they were probably had
Mariners
a little,
lineup's pretty nuts.
It's not just the lineup because I think the Blue Jays up and down are probably as good. It's the starting rotation for the Mariners is great, and the bullpen's been fantastic down the stretch. So it to me, it was more about the pitching than the hitting, because nobody's probably going to out hit straight up man for man the Dodgers. The good news for the Blue Jays is Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is playing out of his mind. They do have, as much as Mariners fans and maybe baseball fans don't like him, George Springer, who's been super clutch in the postseason over the years. So they've got some, they've got some dudes there, and they have a couple of starters that you like, but They feel like big underdogs. But that's the beauty of baseball, right? Like, how much of an underdog is anybody ever in a series in baseball? It's, there's always a chance. More than any other sport, by far, there's a chance for baseball teams to pull upsets like that.
Yeah, it's true. That's the beauty of the Royals World Series runs. The Royals probably, in 2014, they probably weren't favored in any series that they were in. 2015 is a different story. And so that's what's awesome about baseball series. That when you get to these playoff times, that weird things happen. I mean, the Blue Jays had a better regular season, but I don't imagine the Blue Jays were favored in the series against the Mariners, were they?
I don't know. I don't know. I know they weren't favored in like all the games or anything. So the Dodgers just to win the World Series are minus 210. The Blue Jays plus 175. So that's probably a little more even than I thought, to be perfectly honest. But I love the Blue Jays. I got a soft spot for them. I think they're great. I think it's a really cool city. I think it's a really cool fan base. I think they go nuts for them. I laughed hysterically when at the game they played a Justin Bieber song and everybody cheered, and then they played a Nickelback song and everybody booed. And I'm like, poor Nickelback. Not even in Canada can you get a – I just watched the John Candy documentary. He was a big Toronto guy, a big Canada guy. Let's go Blue Jays. Let's get this done.
We're about to see the classic map every single time it gets to this point of the year where it's like, who's rooting for the Dodgers versus who's rooting for the Blue Jays. And it's just
it won't be many.
That's the craziest part, is that it's not like in the NHL, it has that animosity towards the Canada teams and stuff like that. Like, it's hilarious that everybody in the United States outside of Southern California will probably be rooting for the Blue Jays.
Well, I mean, the Dodgers have nationwide appeal for sure. But yes, the vast majority, like if you're not a Dodgers fan, you're going for Blue Jays, unless maybe you're an AL East fan that has that built in hatred. Which is fine. Like, if the Dodgers were playing the Astros, I'd be going for the Dodgers, right? Like, so there's probably a little bit of that. And then that's it. But it's a team that hadn't been there in a long time. That's the thing. Like, you feel heartbroken for Seattle, who's never been to the World Series. It's a generation for Blue Jays fans. I mean, come on, 32 years? Like, that's a lifetime for a lot of their fans. So,
is that Joe Carter? Was that year?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah,
I believe so. So it was. It was that can I'll always remember that. That was one of the first things people told me. And I'm like, really? Joe Carter? That's wild. I would have never thought that. But it's a cool connection there too, if you're looking for a reason. But you don't have to look that hard for a reason. You just don't want to see the Dodgers go back to back.
Correct.
Go ahead.
This brings up the second point here is, and the Dodgers are aware of it. You see the comments that Dave Roberts made while he had the microphone on the field about ruining baseball. There's a whole big joke.
I didn't see his comments. I've heard the conversations. The Dodgers haven't ruined baseball, by the way.
Everybody. So they're talking about the collective bargaining agreement ends in 2027. And every time that the Dodgers hit a home run in the playoffs, somebody posts the highlight and says, yeah, we're getting a lockout in 2027. Lockout's coming. Salary cap's on its way. We're having a lockout. And so they won that series, and he took the mic and he said, everybody says that the Dodgers are ruining baseball. Well, let's win four more games and really ruin baseball.
Yeah. The Dodgers are not ruining baseball.
But that brings up the conversation, though. Like, this is a big market team that basically just drops a boatload of cash.
Toronto's a big market team. Toronto spends money every year. The problem with baseball is not the Dodgers. The problem with baseball is the Marlins. The problem with baseball is the ownership groups that refuse to spend money. That's the problem with baseball. I would much rather see a salary floor than a salary cap in baseball. I think the luxury tax is an interesting way and in a thoughtful way to try to go about it. But a salary cap, literally no side of the bargaining table wants a salary cap. I don't understand. I mean, Rob Manfred brought it up this year, and maybe Major League Baseball would prefer it. And Bryce Harper, you know, famously tried to fight him or whatever. But the players don't want it. The owners don't want it. That's who's bargaining. Nobody cares what Rob Manfred thinks. What owner wants a salary cap? Salary cap?
If I was the Royals owner, I'd want a salary cap.
Why?
Can look at the Chiefs. If there wasn't a salary cap in football, the Chiefs would have no chance of doing what they're doing.
They don't want a salary cap because there's not like if there was a salary cap, there would be more pressure on the small market teams to spend more money and get closer to the cap. So they may I don't know what they would say publicly, but if I was the Pirates or the Marlins, I would be terrified of a salary cap because it probably means there's going to be a salary floor. And they don't want that. So they're not going to vote for it. I would imagine there's not a vote anywhere at the table for a salary cap. Just, the players don't want insane. It. Why would you want it, though? Like, I'm not saying it shouldn't be there. It should be there. And baseball is unique from the other sports, too, because it is more regionalized than the NFL, per se, or the NBA. And that it just is. It's a more regionalized sport, but you get 162 games, right? So it's not that outrageous that a team like the Dodgers, who over 162 games are going to command the market the way that they do versus Kansas City. Look, of course they're going to spend more money. Like they're in that larger market generating the money over 162 games. If you put a salary cap in, what you're going to get is the Dodgers and their ownership group making a whole bunch more money. I want them to spend all their money. What I want is a salary floor that makes the small market teams that just sit on their piles of cash and go Uncle Scrooge on it to to have to spend at least some money, right? And that's the thing. Like, there is a huge difference in the top of Major League Baseball and the bottom as far as players. If you want to talk about outrageous salaries, look in the NBA. No offense to Christian Everybody Brown. I think he's awesome. He's about to make $25 million a year to be a role player. And that's great. I'm happy for him. But like, people act like every Major League Baseball player is getting paid all this money. They're not. They sit through arbitration for years and years and years. Like, baseball has done all of these things. If you are a star, yes, you will get paid. But otherwise, it's a grind, man. It takes forever to get there. It takes forever to hit free agency. It is not like the baseball is not where everybody's getting rich. It's not. The NBA is where everybody's getting rich. If you secure your spot in the league in the NBA, you're set forever.
Yeah, but I feel like that kind of feeds right into the argument about the fact of like these guys, like a Denny Pasquantino, we'll say him. He hasn't hit free agency yet. You know, he sits, like you said, he's going to grind through this and wait till he gets to his free agency and then maybe have to try to avoid arbitration. But if he doesn't, he's gonna have to sit through arbitration years. And then he finally gets to be a free agent. And then it's like, all right, now I'm going to get paid. And it's like, well, Royals don't want to pay you. Yankees do. Here's, you know, blank check. Here you go. Like, and they can just do that.
What in recent memory would make you think that the Royals wouldn't pay him? Is well, it the Bobby Witt Jr. contract, the Michael Walker contract, the Seth Lugo contract? Okay. They're winning, so they're spending money.
Paul Skeens. We'll say Paul Skeens. The Pirates weren't
going to pay a Pirate. That's not a baseball problem. That's a Pirates problem.
Okay, even if the Pirates – we'll say this. Even if the Pirates wanted to pay him and wrote the biggest contract – even
they could pay
him. We'll say the Bobby Witt Jr. deal. Like, the Royals – which is it's an extension, not a free agency thing, but whatever. We'll go, what's Alex Gordon's deal? They paid Alex Gordon all that money. Like, the Yankees could have come in and just said, hey, here's $50 million more.
Do you know why the Yankees didn't do that?
Well, because he was, you know, back in.
Because it would have been a bad contract. It was a bad contract for the Royals.
It's true.
Let's continue the conversation on the other side.
I'll find examples.
Okay, find me some on the other side. We'll keep it going here. Sports Daily, another hour coming your way. All right, welcome back in, everybody, for another hour of Sports Daily. Glad to have you here. Sports Talk on KFH, presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much. You can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Coming up in this hour, we will continue the conversation of, are the Dodgers ruining baseball? We will visit that. We will go back to some Monday Night Football as well. Good conversations. The Blue Jays punched their tickets last night into the World Series to take on the Dodgers. So that's coming for us. It's all brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, featuring Oztoberfest, a deeply copper-colored German-style lager that'll make you click your heels, grab your stein, and follow the copper brick road to the land of Oztoberfest. Wichita Brewing Company, pizza and beer made here. All right, TJ. Let's continue on here. Make your case that the Dodgers are ruining baseball and we need a salary cap.
Okay. Not the perfect example here, but I got a couple. Well, we can start with Shohei Ohtani was a free agent. You don't think the Angels wanted to keep Shohei Ohtani? Even though they're kind of big market as well.
Wait, now, hang on. Are you about to make a poor Angels argument?
No. I'm just saying that the Angels are more poor than the Dodgers are. That's really? The argument here.
Because the Angels have poached Albert Pujols.
They got Albert Pujols.
Josh Hamilton.
I know. Like, I agree, but I'm just saying
the Angels chose to not pay Shohei Ohtani. They tried. He didn't want to play there. It's not that they didn't try to pay him
$700. Yeah, they did. They didn't. They weren't going to pay him $700 million.
Well, that was their choice not to pay. It's not like they can't pay him $700 million. They chose not to.
I mean, it may not be feasible to do it. The Dodgers say, we don't care. Here you go.
That's right.
Like, that's just That's an argument. That's an argument to be made there. Garrett Cole, he was the free agent with after the Astros, right? Am I making that up?
Pirates.
No, he played for the Astros.
He got traded to the Astros.
And then he was a free agent after the Astros.
Your argument will be better served that he was a Pirate.
Okay, but he got traded to the Astros.
They had to trade him because they knew they couldn't sign him.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's a part of it. My saying here is that the fact of it's just whenever it gets to free agency, whoever has the highest bid would go get him. Yankees had the highest bid. They went and got him. Other people couldn't keep up with him.
And there's no question that paying players, it gives you a better chance to reach your, you know, your perceived goals. The Brewers had the 17th highest payroll in baseball this year. The Mariners had the 11th. The Tigers had the 14th. The Reds had the 19th. Cleveland had the 26th. So it's not impossible. And look, I'm not saying, again, I'm not saying a salary cap would be a bad thing. I think it could be fine. My problem isn't, though, holding the big teams to a salary cap. My problem is, how do you make sure that, you know, the Marlins spend more than $67 million?
I agree. You, I think that's nothing.
You can't have a salary cap without a salary floor. And to me, the salary floor is the more pressing issue than the salary cap.
I mean, I could see that, I guess. I feel like that's two separate arguments. It's not the same breath between those two things. I agree.
It's
there
the
is a problem
breath as to what baseball can do at its next agreement.
But yeah, I also think like a salary floor isn't going to help. Like, I don't want to say parity because it's baseball and it doesn't really doesn't matter that much. That's the biggest argument.
It is going to help because if teams have to reach that threshold, they're going to be more inclined to pay their star players. Right. Like if you're held to a salary floor, you're more likely to keep your stud player locked up to take up a part of that than you are every year to go out in free agency and spend a bunch of money.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I think the biggest issue right now is the difference in markets. But the biggest issue is like, let's have everybody show us their profit and loss sheets for their Major League Baseball teams and prove to me, Marlins, Pirates, that you're losing money.
Yeah.
And that you're not making, because that's not true. Their franchises are going up in valuation. Like they're not losing money. They're making lots of money.
And that argument that I think Nick Castellanos brought up actually. And so it was like a TikTok or something like that. Somebody asked him, there was like, if you could be the commissioner, what rule would you put in place? And he was like, everybody talks about like, you know, bringing down the teams that spend the money and have all the success and everything like that to help the parity. But he's like, there needs to be a punishment for some of the people that are running the White Sox or being the worst team in baseball for 4 years in a row and just getting away with it. Like, there's just nothing that anybody does.
It's a huge market. They're making tons of money. And it's ridiculous and it's outrageous. And right now, the difference between the Marlins, the lowest is the reason I bring them up, at $67 million and the Dodgers at $350 million, five times the salary. Is that a Dodgers problem? Because their ownership's willing to go out and spend the money? I don't think it's a Dodgers problem. I think that's good.
I wonder what. Hold on. Keep
that's talking. Better for baseball to me than a team sucking, right? Because as we know, in Major League Baseball, spending the most money is not the way to win World Series. It's not some guaranteed thing. We haven't had a repeat World Series winner in forever since the Yankees did it. In this millennia, we have not had a repeat World Series winner.
I agree. Baseball does level itself out in that. And the fact that's the argument that you can make for all of this stuff and what the players are going to make as well, because they don't want this to happen. It's going to be the fact of like money doesn't correlate to championships. It does correlate though to the rising of to the top.
It correlates to success. It absolutely does. There's no question about that. But again, that's not those teams' fault, because there are other mechanisms in place that suppress the player. Arbitration is a huge one. It's just, right?
It's just such the thing about it though, like it doesn't happen in any other sport to the degree that it does in baseball, of the fact of trading your star players at the deadlines because you can't pay them in the offseason. Like, that doesn't happen in football. Like, that doesn't happen in basketball.
It's about to happen in football. They're going to be salary dumps in football over the next 2 weeks because they don't want to pay these guys and they're trying to get something for them while they can. I mean, it happens
in
everything.
Like, could you, like, but like, just imagine in the NFL, like, if it was a Lamar Jackson contract year and like, it's just like, well, like, let's see what kind of offers we can get for him. And I think that's also because there's not a prospect system to level that out. Like, it would just have to be trading picks and everything of that nature. So,
what is more unfair? Who is getting the raw end of the deal? The Pirates with Paul Skeens or Paul Skeens?
I mean, Paul, I don't know. I mean, right now, I don't know. I mean, both, I feel like, honestly. I feel like if Paul Skeens wants to get paid, Paul Skeens can go get paid.
If Paul Skeens is going to get paid, Paul Skeens is going to have to wait a very long time to go get paid. He is not going to get that option, I don't think, until 2029. Okay. Wow. So the Pirates, if they wanted to pay Paul Skeens, could pay him right now, just like the Royals did with Bobby Witt Jr. If they wanted to secure the future, like if they wanted to make sure that Paul Skeens didn't just hit free agency and leave, they could extend his contract right now, the way that a lot of teams have done. Oh, for years and years, teams have done that. They're not going to do that. What will happen is Paul Skeens is going to have to wait another 4 years probably before he can become a free agent. What happens if he gets hurt as a pitcher over those 4 years? Who got the raw end of that deal? So, like, I'm sorry, like, the woe is me Pirates, like, that doesn't work for me. They could extend a star player right now if they wanted to, but they're not going to. They're going to let him be a cheap player for as long as they can, and then they're going to trade him just like they always do. Whose problem is that? Is that the Dodgers' problem? No. The Royals made their choice. They went and gave Bobby Witt Jr. a massive deal. And before that, they did it with Salvador Perez. So
yeah, I think that
the problem are the bad actors. The problem is not the Dodgers. The Dodgers aren't ruining baseball for the Pirates. The Pirates are ruining baseball for the Pirates.
I agree. The small teams that just are just in hell every single year, like that's a self-inflicted burn, you know, like there's not, you can change that yourself if you want to change that. Cause I agree. The salary floor is an argument to make for those guys. I think that the salary cap issue is an issue for teams like the Royals. Royals are number 17 in payroll. Like they're the median basically. Like yep.
Median. Yeah,
I agree. That's the difference here, though, is that this Paul Skeens thing, whenever it has to happen, like if this was the NFL, the Royals like could have a stake in the game. Like they could offer the same contract as the Dodgers, as the Yankees, as like, because there's max contracts too. Like there's no max contracts in baseball either. I think that might be a different issue as well. But baseball's
completely different. But again, Paul Skeens hasn't had the chance for an absurd amount of time to even go to the free agency table. And he's a, but what if he gets hurt? Right. Like, so you can't, like, they already get fully guaranteed contracts, which is great. Right. And the owners are going to say you already get fully guaranteed contracts. But the arbitration process is a pain point for the players. I'm telling you, I don't think anybody wants a salary cap. I don't think anybody outside of Major League Baseball, because they would like to see everybody spend. They want it just as competitive for every market. And I get that from baseball standpoint. But the owners don't want it and the players don't want it. And you're already talking about the most contentious labor dispute year in, year out, every year when we get to that point. What do you think there?
Tarek Skubal, free agent after next season. Wouldn't it be nice if the Royals could get on in him? I don't think
they can if they choose to. They sure could.
If we put John Sherman into a different tax bracket.
John Sherman spent more money than anybody the last two off seasons. He really wanted to. We'll continue it. We want your thoughts on it. Give us a comment there on the video streams. We'll be right back with more Sports Daily.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Heather is a nurse practitioner from UnitedHealthcare.
We meet patients wherever they live.
During a house call, she found Jack had an issue.
Jack's blood pressure was dangerously high.
It was 217 over 110.
So they got Jack to the hospital and got him the help he needed.
He had had a stent placed in his heart, preventing a massive heart attack.
If it wasn't for my guardian angel, I wouldn't be here.
Hear more stories like Jack's at UnitedHealthcare.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan. Area limitation and exclusions apply.
What makes a great pair of glasses? At Warby Parker, it's all the invisible extras without the extra cost. Their designer quality frames start at $95, including prescription lenses, plus scratch-resistant, smudge-resistant, and anti-reflective coatings, and UV protection, and free adjustments for life. To find your next pair of glasses, sunglasses, or contact lenses, or to find the Warby Parker store nearest you, head over to warbyparker.com. That's warbyparker.com.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence Data, 1H2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleland here. Monday Night Football in the books. We'll get to Monday Night Football and what we saw here coming up in just a little bit. We are in an interesting discussion, and I'm glad we are, because it is a fascinating topic about Major League Baseball, the Dodgers, Blue Jays, World Series is set. A lot of chatter the last few days about are the Dodgers ruining baseball. Before we get to that, if you want to win a free iced tea, you can text us to win a contest. Right now, it's text to win a free cup of tea from HTO at either East Wichita, West Wichita, or in Derby. All you got to do is text the keyword tea to the short code 20357. That is the number. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. TJ, are the Dodgers ruining baseball? Answer the question then, I guess.
I mean, it's a little bit of there. It 70% of what they're doing is a problem. 30% is just the fact that they're just good at what they do.
And the problem is what?
The problem for the rest of the league is the fact that the Dodgers just have a lot of money because, you know, they're LA, they're the biggest market team. They have the most fans in the entire league, probably. I think you can make that argument now over the Yankees. And because of that, they have enough to just pick whoever they want and say, you are going to be a dog. Like the another one I found during the break is Yamamoto. Whenever he got signed, came over from Japan, open for anybody in the league to go get him. And who does he go to? The highest offer. And it was
what stopped other teams from also making high offers?
From not having as much money in the checking account.
You really believe that? Yankees couldn't afford it.
I mean, okay, Yankees. I'm saying any of the big markets could do it. I'm saying the fact of if the Royals wanted Yamamoto, like, you think the Royals have enough breathing room to write a $325 million check?
If they chose to, it's not worth it for them. The Rangers won a sweepstakes for Yu Darvish back in the day.
True.
You can do it
if you want to, but you just don't have. It's not the fact that you just don't have the money.
Let me ask it to you this way. Shohei Ohtani is the poster boy for this. How many teams right now in Major League Baseball do you think, if they had the choice and could go back and offer the exact same contract he's playing for the Dodgers, how many teams do you think would end up offering that contract?
I mean, I don't think it's as big as what you think. I mean, I don't think the Royals would do it.
Five or ten.
Yeah, probably.
So is that a Dodgers problem or is that a problem for the other four teams that didn't do it?
It's not a Dodgers problem. It's a baseball problem. The Dodgers aren't doing anything wrong. It's the fact of what baseball has laid on the table that allows them to do this. The Dodgers aren't at fault here. If I had that checkbook, I'd do it too. Like the Yankees do it. Like Juan Soto just went to the Mets for the biggest contract in baseball history. Like, it's not a Dodgers problem. It's not a big market problem. It's the fact of MLB just saying, like, well, yeah, if you got the money, spend it however the hell you want.
And I think it's interesting. And I would, again, so the Dodgers aren't ruining baseball is the answer to the question.
No, the Dodgers aren't ruining baseball.
When the Yankees went out and spent all that money after their dynasty, by the way, because they weren't doing that when they actually were a dynasty in the late 90s into 2000. They started doing that later, and it didn't really lead to World Series champion. All that money they've spent over the years, and they have the 2009 World Series to show for it. The Mets have tried this. How many different times have the Mets tried to do this? And how many World Series has it led to for the Mets?
I agree. That's the thing about baseball is that it cancels itself out because you can have the jokes of the $200 million roster versus the power of friendship. And sometimes power of friendship is just going
to
win.
That's right. And so it again, like the because to me, the issue is like I would love if baseball could just come in and put a salary cap in. But they'd also have to have a salary floor, which will never get agreed to. They'd also have to eliminate the arbitration process, which will never get agreed to. The owners would never agree to either of those things. If the players right now, if you told the players, we'll get rid of arbitration and you can become a free agent after, what is it in the NFL? 3 to 5 years of service time, about the same in the NBA. The players would probably be okay with the salary cap in that, as long as the cap was high enough, but they don't. So you can't have it all. And because it's already so contentious, because it is a different market than the other sports deal with the minor league system, and Major League Baseball made a huge concession and ownership with the minor league baseball changes that have been made. Like the solution is not just put in a salary cap, because that's not fair to the players. And so it's never going to get agreed to. So we can sit here and Rob Manfred can walk into locker rooms and say, here's why we think we should have a salary cap. But the players will never agree to that while they have to deal with arbitration.
I just have to. Yeah, the arbitration argument's the biggest thing with that is that allows players to just play underpaid for a while. So I do agree that's a bad argument there. But I think if, like, I don't know. I mean, I feel like if you walked into the Royals locker room, like obviously the Phillies locker room is going to say that because the Phillies got five guys making boatloads of cash. Like, I feel like the Royals would be like, hey, like,
Bryce Harper didn't pick that fight because he's afraid it will cost him money.
Oh no.
He picked that fight because he feels like he is a leader of the players' side of things. And he knows that's not good for the players because of the arbitration process.
Yeah. It's true. There'd be a lot. There'd be a lot of people who would miss out on money because of that. The biggest thing that it would do, though, and that might be a different argument, is just reevaluating the arbitration process, even though it's been a thing for years and years and years. The biggest thing, the biggest argument you can make about the about this to make it a pro salary cap argument is the fact of that in Kansas City, like unless you drafted a Juan Soto, you're never going to see a Juan Soto in Kansas City. Unless you drafted an Aaron Judge, you're never going to see him in Kansas City. Like, if Bobby Witt Jr. wasn't drafted to Kansas City, he would have never come to Kansas City.
Maybe, but that's a part that's of it. Would Patrick Mahomes ever end up anywhere else?
If the salary cap rules were the way that they were in the MLB, Patrick Mahomes would never come to Kansas City unless they drafted him. And then he might leave after his rookie deal was up. Like, that's the thing.
But we're not comparing the same thing. Like that, but like you can't try to compare baseball to football or basketball because it's not the same. Baseball also fully guarantees contracts. You think the owners want, and the players aren't going to want to do anything that ever compromises that either. So yeah. They also have these massive bonuses that guys get paid through the draft, like massive amounts of money now that keeps going up. So it's not like the players are all getting a raw deal. They're not. The non-star players would benefit greatly, I think, from a salary cap. But their risk is, are they going to be around long enough in the current system to see the fruits of that labor? And so I think the easiest thing that everybody could agree to in theory is a salary floor. Because I think even other ownership groups, like the Dodgers, might agree to a salary floor because it's good for the game. It doesn't really matter to them because they're never going to be in danger of it anyway. But when you talk about like the biggest threats to baseball, the biggest threat to baseball is unengaged fan bases because their teams aren't competitive and refuse to try to be competitive. But that is not an issue of the big spending teams. It's an issue that's born from the small market teams that refuse to ever pay any players. It's not just their own players. When was the last time the Marlins went and spent money in free agency?
I know. I mean, I agree. But I mean, it's also a two-part question there of the fact, or two-way street of the fact of, you know, we've seen the Royals in that spot. And it's like, why would they? Like, what is
the
what
Royals
is a couple...
have spent more money in free agency oh, yeah, over the I last know. 2 years
this is
than
a different...
any team?
This is a different era of Royals baseball. If you took us back to 2008,
right. And
why would
the
Royals?
What's the differentiating factor in this era and the last?
They have players that have come through the farm system that make them actual
teams.
They have
new owners. They have new owners that go and spend the money.
Yeah. I agree. That didn't happen in the past either. I'm saying the fact of my argument here, though,
that is not a rules problem.
Whenever the Royals,
that was a former ownership group problem. Yes, they chose not to spend the money. The new ownership group is spending money like it's going out of style.
I agree. I don't disagree with that.
So it's not the rules are not the problem.
But it's the fact of you're fishing in a different pond than the Yankees and the Dodgers are. Like that's the thing. Like you can spend the money, but you're never going to be able to spend the money on the guys that they're getting.
See, are you fishing in a different pond? And I agree with that. But again, there's no proof in the pudding that that's the only way. And in fact, it's not the way. It's almost never the way to go win a World Series. You'll never beat player development in Major League Baseball. The Dodgers, yes, have gone, and this year was the most glaring, have gone out and through free agency acquired the Monstars from Space Jam. Yes. But most years they did that through their own farm system, always having the best players, whether they then went and traded for players, which is not the same thing as free agency, or whether they just brought them up through their system. They always have the best system. Their player development program, which shouldn't surprise us because they have the old Rays brass and the Rays always did this too. The teams that have the most success are the teams that develop the most good players, not the teams that go spend the most money in free agency. The Royals didn't go through hell the last 10 years because they weren't spending money. They did it because they missed on so many draft picks, when they have all the draft picks.
And that's what I'm saying, is that's why they're spending money now, is because they have a core to build around. Like, you can't spend money unless you have that. And I agree. The Dodgers have done that. The Dodgers had an awesome core, you know, whatever it was, 6 years ago at this point, whenever they had all those pitchers at the wazoo of guys getting called up and like, this guy's awesome, this guy's awesome. And the Rays as well. I mean, they did that, and then they spent money and made it better. And now the Dodgers did that. Then they spent money, and now it's grown even more. And now they just are like, well, we're still in the window. Let's just keep spending money. Like, that's what this argument does, is just like limits windows. Like, it's the argument the Chiefs have had to overcome the past 5 years, where it's like, how do we manage these contracts? Like, they have like five guys at the highest paid position in football, and they have to like say, like, okay, like, we have no money to go get a cornerback. We're going to start the rookie. Like, we got to. Like, we have no money left. And it just makes you put in those arguments. In baseball, though, like, if you get between a rock and a hard place, it's like, man, we need some more depth this next year in the starting pitching room. Let's cut another $300 million check. Like, that's the argument for this thing, is that it just spreads it just shares the sugar to the rest of the league. And, like, I agree, it doesn't matter that much in the grand scheme of who wins the World Series, because – it's such a crapshoot in baseball half the time, you know, of who gets, you know, a little bit lucky, who has a hot hand, everything of that nature. And it's more than any other sport. And as we've been saying, but I mean, just imagine if it was something to where it was like, if the Dodgers only had Blake Snell, and then the Royals got to have Yamamoto, and then the Rangers got to have Glasnow, and like, and they weren't all on one pitching staff.
But they all did have a chance to go get those guys unless they were traded for, and they chose not to do it. The Royals went out and chose Seth Lugo and Michael Wacha, and they traded for Michael Lorenzen. They built their pitching staff. And if they're not in the market for the stars, you can't be, but there's a reason. Like, that's not the Dodgers have more of a cushion to make mistakes in free agency. There's no question. But again, You're talking about such a difference in market between LA and Kansas City over 162 games. So we should just, like, the owners of the Dodgers now can't spend the money, and what, do they just get to sit on all the money?
It's the same thing.
Wouldn't you rather see them spend the money?
I don't think I would. I don't care about what the hell they do with their money. They built a good business model. Do whatever you want. I would rather see
every ownership group be as concerned about the product on the field as the Dodgers are, than as concerned about their finances as the Marlins are.
That's what I would rather see.
Everybody be aggressive versus taking the ability away for teams to be aggressive. And again, I'd love a salary cap in baseball. I think it would be fun. I think it would be great. But there is no chance that is ever agreed to in collective bargaining. So what can we find to help the issues at hand? What is actually possible? And I think a salary floor is. Rick brings up a good point. He's more upset that that Major League Baseball is letting LA defer all the contracts. I will agree with Rick on that 100%. You can't do that. Like, the Bobby Bonilla, you got to put that stuff on the books now. That's a problem. That's a problem. You can't do that. Like, it needs to be on the books in the present, front facing, because that does uneven the playing field a ton to be able to say, oh, well, we'll just accumulate. We won't pay it any of it now, because now you are putting the teams that are in a different financial situation at a huge disadvantage. They can't do that. Like, that's something like, you got to spend it right now. You can't just keep, because it's smart on them for doing it. Like, I'm not faulting them. That's something Major League Baseball has to step in on and try. And I don't know how they'll do it, because I don't think the players would like that. I think you got to be careful. Like, the players, you're not saying to the players, we're taking your money away. Because if I was a player, I'd want a deferred contract too. Just give me the money in chunks. I don't need it all at once anyway. But I think there could be enough owner interest in that where you might be able to get that accomplished, maybe.
The thing is that I keep thinking of here, well, that we haven't brought up yet, is the fact of, this is the argument that we're making about Major League Baseball is the argument that has been made in now college athletics for the last 2 or 3 years, as the fact of, how do we prevent the big schools from spending more money than the Wichita States? how can we get Wichita State into something where they even have a chance? Otherwise, we're talking about FBS, FCS type of situations. And if there's no salary cap, I mean, it turns into an FBS, FCS situation in MLB. Like,
not necessarily, because here's the other part of the equation that never gets factored in. Shohei Ohtani plays baseball in California. There would be advantages for him playing baseball in Texas, where he wouldn't have the state income tax, but it gets offset. How do you ever control him going to get local media deals? Not necessarily his New Balance deal, but like the local, like he's going to get much, much more lucrative deals locally to be at all the local grocery stores and all that stuff. That's advantage LA, and you can never police that. Just like in the NCAA, you can't police NIL compensation.
I agree. I mean, that happens though in the NBA and the NFL. Like, that's the reason that everybody's talking about Giannis leaving Milwaukee and going to New York. He'd make the same amount of money, but you know, there's more endorsement opportunity and everything like that. And you can't do anything about that. That's why big markets still float to the top in salary cap sports. But in MLB, like, they float to the top not only because of that, but also because they have the biggest checkbook.
Yeah, and it is an advantage. Like, you've got state income taxes to be aware of.
Yeah, that's what Tyreek Hill was so excited about going to Miami for.
It's a big deal. You're making 20% more money. Like, it's not even it's insane. So LA's also got to make up for that. Now you're going to tell them their salary cap dollars. Well, guess the advantage Rangers and Astros, right?
That's cool. Change the local government rules if that's what's a big deal.
But that's not Major League Baseball's problem. But that, again, that's why they'll never agree to it. If you put the Dodgers, the Dodgers in theory in those situations get to spend 20% less money than the rest of the league, or than some teams in the league. It's not going to happen. All right, Monday Night Football, two games. You get two pretty good games there. Bucks fall to the Lions 24-9. Seahawks take care of the Texans 27-19. Let's start with the first one. Bucks Lions. TJ, Detroit bounces back from the Chiefs loss. Troy Aikman and Joe Buck could not have been more complimentary, I would say, of the defense. I think Troy Aikman said it's one of the most impressive performances he's ever seen defensively. Now, I think there's context there, and it's because they haven't looked good all year. I don't know that I'd go that far. The Buccaneers lost Mike Evans early. They didn't have Mike Evans. They had a hobbled Emeka Egbuka. But I will say the Lions defense, after what we've seen, man, Aiden Hutchinson is a problem. And the secondary, which everything pointed to Baker Mayfield torching the Lions secondary, and it didn't happen for a variety of reasons, and they deserve a lot of credit. And I do think they're the best team in the NFC. I do. I think the Lions are the cream of the crop in the NFC.
Yeah, that has been the argument of who it is. We've talked about a bunch on this show, and I mean, I think that, you know, the way they played last night, there's no reason to think it wouldn't be them. I think they're better than the Eagles. And honestly, after the Bucks, I'd say those are your top three, probably, I would imagine. So,
yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of them. Seattle, who we'll talk about in a minute, would like something to say in this conversation. There are a lot of teams that are good, and the Packers beat the Lions really handily, if you'll remember. But the thing for the Lions for me is if they can get a little healthier, if they start to get some guys back, they have a pass rush. Right. So like even bad defenses with a pass rush, when you think forward to the postseason, a pass rush sometimes in those games is all you need, right? To be disruptive enough especially when you have the kind of offense that they have. And man, they can just attack you offensively so many ways. Goff is really, he had an interception last night. It was not his best game, but he was good enough. And if it's not Gibbs, it can be at times Montgomery. But Amon-Ra St. Brown is, I don't want to call him unstoppable, but every team on the planet knows that they're going to just pepper St. Brown with targets, and he eats no matter what. They're getting almost nothing out of Jameson Williams, which continues to surprise me, and they're still right there. They're just so balanced offensively. And man, with this pass rush, remember, they didn't have Hutchinson last year when it counted and how close they got. And he is that kind of player for a good team. I think that can put them over the edge. And for the Bucks, I wouldn't sweat it. The Bucks just need to get healthy. There's not a team in football that's needed to get to a bye week like the Bucks need to get to a bye week, because some of their players that are hurt should be back. Mike Evans broke his collarbone. He probably won't be now, but they should get Chris Godwin back. They should get Bucky Irving back after that bye week, which is next week, not this week. But they'll be right back there, I think, if they can just get a little healthier.
Yeah, they're an interesting team. You know, obviously they've kind of snuck up on us in the past couple of years, I think. But I agree, Baker Mayfield, you know, was getting MVP talks. Again, they were kind of hobbled last night. And so there's not much to take away. Again, it is week 8. I don't think this was a game that was must win. I think that they knew what they were going into, going to Detroit. What Detroit was favored by, what do we have, 5.5 points in this game. So, and at the time, you know, it felt like it was like, man, I don't know, 5.5 seems like a lot of points. But, you know, looking at everything that we know now, you know, it seems like it was a good line considering the injuries and everything like that. Yep. One of them was during the game, so you have no idea about that. But, it was a dominant performance by the Lions. I agree. I think that they are, right there being a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, it's the two good teams. It was a good game. The score is not indicative of how close that game was. The Bucks had lots of chances late. So that game was intense through the fourth quarter. I had a fun time with that game. On the other side, you know, from what I saw anyway, the Seahawks were pretty dominant. Houston, you know, kind of came in and made it a game. It looks like late. Be perfectly honest with you, didn't watch the second half of that game. But I think there are things to talk about in it. Sam Darnold continues to look really good. We'll get to the conversation about the Vikings in just a second. But Seattle should be able to run the ball. The running backs carried it just almost 30 times last night, and they threw it 30 times. They are a balanced team. They are thin at wide receiver, for sure, because you've got a situation with Jackson Smith and Jigba. TJ? I got him at 400-1. Something absurd like that on an MVP vote. Jackson Smith and Jigba is going to threaten again. If he can score some touchdowns, now that Puka Nacua went down, he could win all the categories at wide receiver. He has been out of his mind right now. And they can't stop him either. And it's working for the Seahawks, who are a balanced team. Their defense is really good. They held Houston to 250 yards of offense last night. I don't know that Houston's offense is all that good, but 27-19, the Seahawks are 5-2. And again, just like every single year of their existence, I think they are getting no love.
I agree. And we've talked about them on the show about what they did this offseason of just rolling the dice and letting DK Metcalf go and then, you know, bringing in a new quarterback that has been a career backup basically and just kind of taking a big risk, and it's paying off. I agree. I think they are good. They're going to be a good playoff team. And Njigba is something that everybody had a lot of hype around him. He was a big fantasy pickup for like his potential basically. And then this year with DK Metcalf, you know, it's showing that he is a wide receiver one, and he might be wide receiver one in the National Football League if you want to make that argument.
We'll see. He's got to do it over time. He's got to do it for some time here. I want to talk about the quarterbacks in that game. We'll start with Darnold. Did the Vikings make a mistake? Are we too early in that? I think we probably are, but we still hadn't seen McCarthy come back on the field. Darnold has looked good. He hasn't looked, you know, he had a pretty good game last night. It wasn't amazing, but it was pretty good. The Vikings make a mistake. Should they have kept Darnold?
I mean, hindsight's 20/20. You haven't seen the rookie play yet, I guess. They didn't get rid of him to watch Carson Wentz play, that's for sure. So I think that's you can't really make any real conclusions until that point, but, you know, I don't know. I'll tell you in, you know, 2 months, whenever we finally see McCarthy again.
Yeah, I think there's a pretty it's not even a knock on McCarthy to say they did. It's more of a tip of the cap to Darnold. Darnold feels like Kirk Cousins to me. Like, it took a minute, but he's there, and I think he's going to stay there. Like Geno Smith, which is funny, Seattle's former quarterback. Don't pay any attention to this season, but what Geno Smith's been able to do for a little while in Seattle. Like, I think Darnold finally figured it out, and I think he's going to be a pretty good quarterback in the league now for a while. And he's younger than people think he is. He came into the league young. What about the other side with C.J. Stroud? What do you make of Stroud, who had as good a rookie season as we've ever seen and just has not been able to follow it up? He has not been bad. He wasn't bad last night. Man, they're trying. They have Nico Collins. They spent a bunch of money, or a bunch of resources, I should say. They drafted two receivers high this year. They had Diggs, and then he gets hurt and all of those things. What do you think about C.J. Stroud? Would you tie your future endeavors to the back of C.J. Stroud at this point?
He's my fantasy quarterback in my dynasty league, which I did spend a lot of resources to get after that rookie season. So I am kind of tied to it at this point and just hoping that everything's going to go okay. I don't know. I mean, it's interesting of what he's been doing. You know, he doesn't have Tank Dell. You know, we saw him break his leg a half against the Kansas City Chiefs last year. So I think that plays a part of losing one of your top guys as well this year. But I mean, even last season, I agree. I mean, he took a step back, threw, you know, double the amount of interceptions that he threw his rookie season. And he's already at four, and which is he threw five in his rookie year. He's already at four at this point, six games into the season. So it's gotten, you know, worse and worse. I don't know. I mean, it's interesting. You have to make some decisions about that. I mean, how much stock can you put into a rookie year if it goes downhill from there?
I think a lot. He reminds me of kind of the career arc of Justin Herbert a little bit. Herbert with the great rookie year wowed us. And then as now he's back, though, what it is, what I mean. I still think C.J. Stroud's probably okay. I think he, all the intangible stuff, he's off the charts. So we'll see. I do think they need to get a little better. Their offseason was curious, right? They let some offensive linemen go. Why? They do bring up a good, interesting last thing, and then we'll get to the Chiefs news of yesterday real quick. Breece Hall has been rumored to Houston for a long time. If the Jets were to trade him at 2-4, though, do you think Houston's in the market to trade for a running back?
I think Houston's going to lick its wounds this year a little bit. They're not going to be a contender like they want to be, or a playoff team like they want to be.
What if you could trade for and get him locked up?
Maybe. I mean, he is young enough. I agree.
I think there's some intrigue there. Houston does need to be able to run the ball, and Breece Hall is in purgatory right now. And I cannot wait to see, hopefully, where he gets traded to, or where he ends up next. I hate that it's been such a cluster for him and Garrett Wilson. Breece Hall, obviously, we have the local tie to, but Garrett Wilson's just an awesome player. We love to see play, that they've been in that mess for as long as they've been. All right, Chiefs news yesterday. Omar Norman Lott out for the season, torn ACL, huge bummer for Kansas City, and a problem, as the pass rush to me has not been good enough and consistent enough this year. So that's something we'll have to kind of see them work through. And now all of a sudden, this thing, TJ, on the line, still nothing on Josh Simmons, Andy Reid, basically like we got to, you know, there's not anything there. Like, we can stop talking about it. It's like it's in Brett Veach's hand, but they clearly don't have any clue on what his status is long term. Or short term, I should say. Maybe they do long term, but they don't short term. Trey Smith leaves the game a little bit with injury. Juwan Taylor leaves the game a little bit with injury. I would expect both of those guys to play, but you at least know they're wounded. This offensive line, which has been the strength of this team now, is threatening a little bit to be on thin ice. You're potentially down three starters.
Yeah, they're going to have to get creative of what you're going to do. You know, does that mean you're going to see Caliendo? You're going to see some Wanya Morris swing inside?
Yes, and
you
yes.
Know, who are you? You're going to have to be creative of what you're going to do to combat this. I mean, I could see Wanya playing right tackle potentially, and Caliendo sliding into that role as well, and then just seeing how that works. And then if it doesn't work, you make adjustments on the fly and see what all happens. But I do think that those guys will play. I think it may be they may take off some snaps. They may, you know, do something like that, take off a series, take off, you know, first and second down, come in for third type of thing every now and then. I don't know how they really you manage that type of thing. But
I'm slightly concerned that Smith appears to be a back, right? That seems like a lingering thing. That'll do it. A lot of good discussions today. Major League Baseball discussion. I love that conversation. I hope that they don't have labor issues because I hate that stuff, but I do find it fascinating to try to get the sport better. World Series will start on Friday. Hey, you can tune in tonight at 6, Chiefs Talk. It's Chiefs Kingdom Show right here on KFH. You can listen online at kfhradio.com or download the free Odyssey app and search for KFH. Coming up on Wednesday, we will get the KU side of the Sunflower Showdown with Shreya Slotta, our KU insider. What do the Jayhawks need to do to come up with a win? What are we continuing to see out of KU basketball? It's media days as well. We will have Jalen Thompson in. We can ask him about some of these Major League Baseball conversations, what's likely, what's realistic. And TJ will be on the road, but join us to preview Big 12 Media Days. So it'll be a fun show. It'll be a busy show on Sports Daily. We appreciate everybody. TJ, enjoy the Tuesday.
I will. I'm glad that I'm officially a morning person to get ready for this drive to Kansas City tomorrow morning. I'll be up and at it.
Don't miss it. It's all Brockton Cleveland on KFH.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Heather is a nurse practitioner from United Healthcare.
We meet patients wherever they live.
During a house call, she found Jack had an issue.
Jack's blood pressure was dangerously high.
It was 217 over 110.
So they got Jack to the hospital and got him the help he needed.
He had had a stent placed in his heart, preventing a massive heart attack.
If it wasn't for my guardian angel, I wouldn't be here.
Hear more stories like Jack's at unitedhealthcare.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan. Area limitation and exclusions apply.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence Data 1H2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions apply.
You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors, from fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.